Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about liability-driven investments. Now, you may never have heard of that phrase before, or you may have seen it in the press over the last few weeks, because it's become big news ever since the UK went into a financial crisis as a result of shooting itself in the foot over some new policies that were brought in and then subsequently reversed, and the Chancellor of the Exchequer lost his job. So it's been a complete shambles over the last month or so. But liability-driven investments have become big news because it's come to light that the pension industry over the last 10 years has been using this strategy to try to offset low fixed income returns. And because we're now seeing interest rates rising rapidly, it's now causing major cash problems. And there is a potential that this could become one of those black swan events that nobody foresees that could trigger a major global financial crisis, similar to what we saw in 2008, when all of the CDOs and CLOs suddenly imploded and caused a number of financial institutions to go bust and the biggest financial crisis that we've seen over the last 30 years. So in today's episode, we'll have a look at pension funds and how they fund their obligations. We'll look at liability-driven investment strategies and why they've been using them and what's gone wrong over the course of the last couple of months. And then what the implications of this are for the global economy, because this issue won't be contained just to the UK. The UK is in the spotlight right now because the pension funds are having a cash crisis and they need to find liquidity rapidly. But this issue could very quickly spread globally. So we'll have a look at the implications for the global economy. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think's going on here, what the implications of the Ukraine war are in this situation, and whether or not this has the potential to explode into a much bigger issue for everybody. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links.
Bonds are units of debt issued by companies or governments that are converted into tradable assets. Essentially, bonds are used to borrow money. For example, governments use bonds to borrow money to pay for schools, roads, and other infrastructure. War can also create a sudden need for funds. There are basically four primary categories of bonds sold in the markets: corporate bonds issued by companies, municipal bonds issued by states and municipalities, government bonds issued by the U.S. Treasury, and agency bonds issued by government-affiliated organizations such as Fannie Mae. For investors, bonds are thought of as fixed income instruments because they typically pay a fixed interest rate, or coupon rate, to bondholders, although bonds with variable interest rates are also common. Most bonds share common characteristics. The issue price is the price at which the bond issuer originally sells the bond. The face value is the amount the bond will be worth at maturity. The coupon rate is the percentage of interest the issuer will pay on the bond. The coupon date is the date on which the issuer will make interest payments, and the maturity date is when the bond matures and the issuer pays the bond's face value. The bond market also tends to move inversely with interest rates, so bonds will trade at a discount when interest rates rise and at a higher price when interest rates fall. In short, a bond could be thought of as an IOU between the lender and borrower that includes the details of the loan and its payments.
So a bond is basically a loan. The original bonds were all issued by governments around the world, and they're for a fixed period of time for a fixed amount of interest. So the US government may issue a 5-year bond, and it might have a 5% coupon on that. So if you take that bond, if you're holding $100 of that bond, you know that every year you're going to be paid 5% interest. So for your $100, you'll receive $5 of interest every single year for 5 years. And in 5 years' time, you'll get back your original $100. So over that 5-year period, you'll have received $25 in interest, plus you'll get the $100 back. So you get paid $125 over the 5 years. And because that bond has been issued by the US government, you know there is a fairly high certainty that you will receive back that money. So you're very comfortable with that risk. It's similar to putting your money in the bank, but you're putting your money with the government and you know exactly what rate of interest you're going to be paid. Now, pension funds invest a lot of their money into bonds. And as I mentioned earlier in the video, there's a really important dynamic between the rate of interest that you're being paid and the official rate of interest in the country that you've taken that bond from. So if we jump back to my earlier example of the bond with a 5% coupon, that coupon represents the rates of interest in the market at the time that that bond was issued. Now, if interest rates subsequently go down like they have over the last few years due to the COVID pandemic, and let's assume for ease of reference that rates drop from 5% to 2.5%, so they've halved in value. If you buy a $100 bond with a coupon of 2.5%, the interest that you will be paid each year is $2.50. Now, the original bond that I've got with a 5% coupon is paying me $5. So the price of my bond in the market will rise from $100 to $200 because my bond is paying a fixed interest coupon of $5 per year. And in the current market, that bond is now worth $200. So you can see that there is an inverse relationship between the rates of interest and the price of the bond. As the rates of interest go down, the price of the bonds go up because they've got a fixed coupon attached to them. And just to show you how prices work if rates go the other way, if interest rates rose to 10%, so a $100 bond was paying $10 per year, my original $100 bond on which I'm being paid $5 would now only be worth $50. Because current interest rates are 10%, I'm only being paid $5 per year, and therefore the value of my bond in the market is now only $50. So when interest rates go up, the price of bonds go down because they've got a fixed coupon. So the price is a determinant of the coupon and the current rates of interest in the market. So just before we talk about liability-driven investments, I wanted to show you the payment curve that defined benefits pension funds are facing. This graph shows the projected liabilities of an example defined benefit scheme over the course of the next 85 years. Now, the axis on the left here is the total amount of obligations due, and the axis on the bottom is time measured in years. And the pension scheme members are shown in three different categories: current pensioners who are receiving payments, deferred members who are usually people who no longer work for that company but have an interest in the pension scheme so will need to be paid at some point in the future, and active members who are people who are currently working for that company. And what you can see here is that over the first 35 to 40 years, the obligations of the fund increases every single year as more and more people hit pension age and need to be paid. So that means that the fund is facing a larger and larger cash requirement every single year. So it needs to keep its investments growing in order to be able to make all of those payments. And then obviously because of life expectancy, as we get past 40 years, people start dying. That means they exit the fund and therefore the obligations start to reduce. Now, in terms of funding those requirements, this graph shows an example of the average investment strategy. And you can see that there are two different types of investment. The section in blue at the bottom is fixed investments, and that relates to the sort of bonds that we were talking about a moment ago, issued by governments that have a fixed coupon on them. And the orange section is inflation-linked investments. So this will be investments into the stock market or property or any other form of asset that's expected to grow in value over time. So you can see from this that pension funds have a significant amount of their investments invested into fixed income assets. And the reason for that is because they're low risk. They're seen as being something that you're not going to lose money on, because obviously if a pension fund loses money, then it needs its other assets to produce even more profit to offset those losses. So they generally have a lower risk appetite. So you can see from this that pension funds face a major challenge of trying to get the best possible returns from their assets to fund their future obligations without taking too much risk. And one of the major problems that pension funds have faced over the last 5 years is that interest rates have been falling. And that means that it's been more challenging for those fixed income assets to generate enough income to pay for all of those obligations. So the pension funds needed to come up with more innovative ways to get a better return on their investments. And one way of doing this was to use liability-driven investment strategies. So let's talk through exactly how they work. So this example shows a situation where the pension fund wants to invest some money today to produce a total return of £100 in 20 years. Now, based on a fixed interest rate of 4% per year, the pension fund will need to invest £31 today to return £100 over that 20-year period. So obviously the easiest way of doing that would be the pension fund would take £31 from its cash, it would buy that bond, It would then hold that bond, and in 20 years' time, it receives back £100. So it's offsetting some of those future liabilities, but using an LDI strategy, the pension fund can actually increase its returns. Because rather than physically buying the bonds, it can take out a derivative instrument that gives it the benefit of the interest that's being paid on that bond without actually having to commit the £31 up front. So essentially what this LDI instrument is doing is it's enabling the pension fund to buy the interest coupon on that bond without having to actually buy the bond itself. So this is a clever financial arrangement whereby the pension fund essentially is taking the interest payment without having to commit all of its capital. Now the market maker who's creating this instrument, the clever financial institution, will use what's known as a mark-to-market indicator. So they'll be looking at the value of this swap throughout the 20 years of its lifetime. And they will ask the pension fund to place some money on deposit with them to cover any movements in that value. So if the LDI goes out of the money, so it becomes more expensive, they will ask the pension fund to give them more cash just to cover that additional risk. Now, generally speaking, the amount of money that the pension fund will have to place on deposit with that market maker may be around 10%. So the pension fund will place £3 on deposit with the market maker, leaving it with the other £28 to be able to invest into more instruments. So if it can make a return on that £28, in addition to the value that it's creating from this LDI instrument, then that means that the pension fund is able to earn twice on that same amount of capital. So this is how pension funds are increasing their returns. They're able to leverage up on the capital that they've got by investing it into more than one asset. So you're probably sitting there thinking, what could possibly go wrong? Well, the biggest thing that can affect these LDIs is movements in interest rates. And that's what we've seen over the course of the last 6 months. Since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we have seen global inflation take off. And as a direct result of that, central banks all around the world have started increasing interest rates, and they're increasing in big chunks. So we're seeing 50 basis points, 75 basis points, 100 basis point increases on a regular basis. So we've gone from virtually zero interest rates around the world to 2, 3, 4, 5% in a very short space of time. And of course, those rapid movements in interest rates have a direct relationship to the value of these LDIs and the amount of cash that the pension funds have to have on deposit with the market makers. So all of the LDI deals that have been done over the last 2 or 3 years since the COVID pandemic are all based on very low fixed income coupons. Now that we've got rapidly increasing interest rates, the value of those low fixed coupons is much less. And as we discussed before, when interest rates go up, the value of bonds go down. So the value of all of the bonds behind these LDIs is now significantly lower than it was 6 months ago. And as a direct result of that, all of the swap instruments that are sitting behind these LDIs are now completely out of the money. So the market makers are all now calling upon the pension funds to give them more cash to make good the mark-to-market valuation of these LDI swaps. And that's what's causing a major cash crisis amongst the pension funds in the UK right now. Because of the need to generate as much income as possible, pension funds have the vast majority of their money invested into assets. So they're not sitting with large amounts of cash because cash is really inefficient, particularly when you've got low levels of interest. You don't want your money sitting in cash because it's deteriorating in value. So the pension funds have their money invested into bonds, equities, and assets such as property. Now, property assets are highly illiquid, so it's impossible to be able to liquidate them in a short space of time to generate cash to pay these market makers. The equity markets have been falling significantly over the last few months. Since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we have seen a lot of volatility on the markets, and generally most markets are down significantly compared to where they were at the start of 2022. So now is not a good time to liquidate your position. If you're an asset manager and you've got billions invested into the stock markets, you don't really want to be cashing out and crystallizing all of those losses. So the best possible option is to sell some of your bonds, but there's two problems with that. Firstly, the price of all of the bonds has fallen because the interest rates have gone up, bond prices have gone down. And secondly, most governments around the world have now stopped all of their quantitative easing programs. A number of countries around the world have been stimulating their economies using QE over the last few years. But unfortunately, that's driven up inflation. So in order to tackle inflation, everybody's now reversed the policy and they're no longer buying back the bonds. So this is obviously a major problem if you're a pension fund, because if you need to sell those bonds and there are no buyers and the prices are falling, it's a disaster scenario. And that's what's happening right now in the UK. The UK government came out and said it was no longer buying bonds. The pension fund said, we urgently need you to buy them because we are in a situation where we're going to become illiquid. So the government started to buy some on a restricted basis, but they're now saying that they're no longer going to do that. So there is a really big problem that's starting to emerge. So how big is this problem and what are the implications? Well, over the last 10 years, the amount of exposure to LDI in the UK has increased from around $450 billion to around $1.8 trillion today. So this is a massive, massive exposure that the pension funds have built up. And as with a lot of other clever financial instruments, it's all based on the concept of leverage. You don't have all of the cash to be able to purchase the underlying assets. So what you do is put in place some form of clever instrument that allows you to only have to give over a percentage of the value, but still get all of the returns. So this all works really well when things are going in your favor. But of course, the problem with leverage is that when things turn against you, the downside is multiplied. You can't just lose the amount that you put in. You can actually lose multiples of that original figure. And that's the situation that the pension funds are facing right now. And there are a lot of similarities here to what happened back in 2008 for the global financial crisis. Because the collateralized debt obligations, collateralized loan obligations, whatever you want to call it, that was all based on the concept of leverage. At the very heart of all of that, you had somebody taking out a mortgage, subprime mortgage. So these were people who shouldn't actually have been given those loans. But the rules and regulations were a lot slacker in those days. So we had millions of people taking out mortgages. And then financial institutions started to package them up. And then they were leveraging that situation. They were issuing bonds based on all of these underlying mortgages. So the whole thing became like a pyramid of cards and it came crashing down in spectacular fashion. Now, at the moment, we don't really have good visibility as to what the global LDI exposure is. The numbers that I just talked you through are for the UK. But these packages have been put together by US investment banks. These are sophisticated instruments. So I can guarantee you that these LDIs will have been pitched to pension funds in every country in the world. Once somebody comes up with a clever idea in finance, they want to roll it out globally. So it's very likely that pension funds all across the world have been using these strategies to try to improve their returns over the last few years. And now that we're starting to see interest rates going up, this is coming home to roost. We could see a really big problem emerging all across the globe over the course of the next 6 months. And the problem that we have here is it's a liquidity issue. The pension funds don't have enough cash to make good the shortfall on the value of these instruments. And so the financial institutions who put them together potentially then will have to take some action against these funds, and it could cause meltdown across the world. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because the LDI situation has been all across the press over the last few weeks. And I wanted to give everybody a better understanding as to what this is, how it's been put together, why the pension funds have been using this, because they're under a lot of pressure to be able to find enough cash to meet all of their ongoing obligations, and what the implications are for the global economy. And I think what we've talked through today really shows that what's been happening with these funds is that they've been overstretching themselves. They've been using leverage to try to improve their returns. And the fundamental reason for that is that they just don't generate enough cash to meet all of their obligations. So a lot of these funds are underwater. When you see company pension funds reporting their results, quite often you'll see that there's a projected shortfall at some point in the future. And there's no explanation as to how they're going to fund that shortfall. A lot of companies are increasing the amount that they contribute on an annual basis, but it will take a long time to make up these gaps. And that's really what's caused the pension funds to have to come up with more innovative ways to improve the amount that they're generating each year. But the fundamental problem that we've got here is that all of these bets have been placed in a very low interest rate environment. Over the last 2 or 3 years, we've seen interest rates go down to their lowest rates ever. And there's only one way to go from there, and that is up. And that's what we're seeing now, and we're seeing it happen really rapidly. Interest rates are on the rise globally, and that situation is not going to change as long as the Ukraine war carries on. So Russia is really turning the screw from a financial perspective. It's putting a lot of pressure on companies and countries around the world. And the pension funds in the UK are the first to raise a red flag and say, we have got a major problem here. But I can guarantee you they won't be the last. This is likely to start occurring in other countries. We will hear other pension funds having liquidity problems because they will have been using these same instruments. The reason that it's come to light in the UK so quickly is because the government has made some really big mistakes over the course of the last month or so. That's caused the markets to get spooked. It moved the cost of borrowing for the UK government significantly above 4% at one point. And as a direct result of that, the government decided that it had to stop buying back all of the bonds, and that left all of these pension funds exposed because they needed that cash to make good those shortfalls on the derivatives. So the position in the UK accelerated really quickly and has now come to the forefront. But over the course of the next 6 months, it's likely that we will see other companies around the world experiencing these same problems. And from an overall perspective, this shows that the global economy is starting to creak. We've been using lots of clever ways of financing things, putting lots of leverage into place in a variety of different sectors, not just pensions, in the property sector, lots of other areas. And as we start to see interest rates increasing, it's going to affect the cost of a lot of those schemes, and it will make it unaffordable for a lot of companies and individuals. So this is really another sign that we are heading into a major financial crisis. It's likely that we'll go into a global recession over the course of the next 6 months. But when you hear about issues like LDI exposure, there is a risk that we could be going into one of the biggest financial crises that we have ever seen. This could be bigger than the global financial crisis back in 2008 if issues like LDI suddenly start to decimate industries like the pension funds. So hopefully you've now got a better understanding as to how pension funds, derivatives, and the world of investing works. If you found today's episode interesting, informative, and thought-provoking, please give me that thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.